Now, what's interesting is that in John, it shows that Jesus went and cleansed the temple at the beginning of his ministry. It's right after his first miracle of turning the water into wine that we looked at last week. The other gospels, the other accounts of a similar story, actually have Jesus cleansing the temple at the end of his ministry. And so, actually, what scholars believe is that it probably happened twice. But what's helpful about kind of looking at all of the accounts and kind of combining them together in some ways, not that they were the same exact story, but that we can get a glimpse of the purpose and the heart behind Jesus of why he did what he did. And so we're going to look at John chapter 2 this morning, and I'm going to read for us verses 13 to 25 as we get started. It says this: "The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade.' His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' So the Jews said to him, 'What sign do you show us for doing these things?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." Verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." All right, so we're going to kind of, you know, walk our way through this story, work our way through it. So a little bit of, you know, context is helpful here, right? It says the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Well, you know, if you know about Passover, then you know that it was like one of the most important kind of annual feasts that commemorated their liberation from slavery in Egypt for the Jews. And so this was an important annual feast. And so people would kind of make the pilgrimage from all over the place to come to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And so that included Jesus. That's why Jesus was going up to Jerusalem as well. So Jesus and again, all these other people are coming to Jerusalem for the Passover. And it says that Jesus then kind of went in to the temple, and in the temple he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, pigeons, the money changers. And so Jesus goes into the temple. The temple, you know, as we know, was like the beating heart of Jerusalem, right? It was the place of worship. It was the place of sacrifice. And so Jesus goes in there and he sees them, you know, selling animals and changing money. And so then, very clearly, we see that Jesus gets pretty angry about this and makes this whip of cords and drives them all out of the temple, the animals, pours out the coins of the money changers, overturns the tables. This is pretty serious. Jesus gets angry and drives them out. Well, why does he do that? I'll tell you why he doesn't do that. He actually doesn't do that just because they were selling animals and changing money. The sale of cattle and doves and kind of the privilege of exchanging money were actually permitted. They were permitted near the temple as a convenience for the pilgrims. Remember, all these pilgrims, they were making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the feast. And so, you know, they couldn't necessarily like bring animals with them. And if they were in another area, then they might have a different, you know, kind of money that they worked with there. And so, you know, it was fine. It was okay, the sale of cattle and doves, because it was just a convenience for all these pilgrims that were coming to Jerusalem who would need to have animals to sacrifice and who really would need to have a specific type of money, the temple shekel, to pay their dues there. So why does Jesus get angry then? Two reasons. He gets angry because of really the reason why they were really selling that stuff and changing money. And he gets angry because of where they were doing this stuff. So first, he gets angry because of the real reason why, right? So we see in verse 16, he says, you know, take these things away. And this is a very powerful statement. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. So while it was okay for the sale of this stuff to happen, for them to exchange money, what was really happening, the real reason behind why they were doing this, was that under the current chief priest during that time, these concessions had become merely a means of making money. And it had, in that case, debased the temple. And it had kind of made it just into a commercial and kind of a consumeristic venture. In fact, some scholars believe that the chief priest would actually get kickbacks based on the sale of the animals. And so they had just turned the temple into a house of trade. They had turned it into a business. They had just turned it into a commercial venture, consumeristic venture. And that was not okay. That was not okay. Secondly, we find that, remember, it was okay for them to do this, but it was okay for them to do it like near the temple. What wasn't okay is for them to do it in the temple. And so we see that Jesus goes into the temple and he finds this happening. And so they were actually like, I'm sure that all of you remember several weeks ago when I preached on the church as the temple of God. You all remember that, I'm sure. And you remember the picture that I put up about the temple and like the dividing wall between the court of the Gentiles and the Jews. Right? All of you remember that. I know you do. I assume you don't. So that's why I'm describing it. But there's this dividing wall. You know, there's a court of the Gentiles out here, and then kind of the inner court is where the Jews could go and worship, right? And so Jesus goes into the temple, into the court of the Gentiles, and he finds that this is where they're doing their business. And in so doing, they were actually robbing the temple of its sanctity, of its true purpose. The trade, the marketplace atmosphere that they had there is not what the temple was supposed to be. And what we find and what's helpful about reading the other gospel accounts, again, even though it's maybe a different instance, we find that Jesus there, again in the video, if you would have seen this, that Jesus there in those passages says, that you have turned my Father's house into a den of robbers, that it was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. That was the true purpose of the temple. It was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. And so, you know, these pilgrims are coming and including, you know, Gentiles and others who were coming to Jerusalem to worship. And they were supposed to be able to go into the court of the Gentiles, at least, and be able to worship those who weren't Jews. But instead of going into the court of the Gentiles and finding it as a place where they could worship, what they found was this smelly, noisy, busy, just marketplace. And so it had robbed the temple of its sanctity. It robbed the temple of its true purpose. And that was not okay with Jesus. That was not okay with Jesus. And so we find then that we're going to kind of skip over verse 17 and we're going to come back to this idea of zeal. But let's look at verse 18. So the Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Right? So Jesus like comes, I mean, I can imagine them, you know, like, dude, you just came in and like you like got up all up in our business, like literally our business. And like you just made a mess. You forced everybody out. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, why do you feel like you can come in and do this? So, like, you got to give us something. Like, you got to give us like a sign or something to like at least let us know that this is like legit for you to come in and make this mess and do this to us. So what sign do you show us, Jesus? You got to give us something. And Jesus answered them, and he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And so the Jews said, like, it's taken 46 years to build this temple. Like, what are you even talking about? You're going to raise it up in 3 days? But what was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. And so not only did what they were doing kind of rob the temple, the physical temple, of its sanctity, of its true purpose as a house of prayer for all nations, but then now Jesus actually says that he is the true temple, that his body is the true temple. And what we know about Jesus is that Jesus, as the true temple, similar to what the physical temple was supposed to be, Jesus himself gave up himself for all people. And so we see that the temple of God in that time, the physical temple where God's glory dwelt, was supposed to be for the sake of others. We see Jesus as the true temple who, within him, the fullness of God dwelt. He was the true temple of God, and he was about others. He was himself for all nations, gave himself up for all people. And then we know that through what Jesus did, and we've mentioned this morning already, through what Jesus did, now we, the church, we, the followers of Jesus, exist as the body of Christ. Right? If Jesus' body was the true temple, now we are the true temple. We are the body of Christ. And we are the temple of God, right? As we looked at in Ephesians 2, for what purpose? For the purpose of others. For the benefit of others. So we see that kind of Jesus like turns the tables on their understanding of what the temple was, turns the tables on even our understanding of what the temple is, what the temple was, and the purpose for it. Now, let's go back up to verse 17. In verse 17, it says that his disciples remembered that it was written, and this is comes from Psalms, that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me. And so we see that Jesus, in his zeal was for the house of God. His zeal was for the things of God, right? And if we, as we have just looked at, what are the things of God? What are the purposes of God? The purposes of God are for others, right? So Jesus didn't see, in his zeal, he didn't see what he could gain. He saw and had zeal for what he could give. Right? We know that it says about Jesus that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This idea of zeal, it like literally means like great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. And I don't know about you, but as I read this, this like was like a punch in the gut for me, or like a slap in the face. I don't know, whatever kind of analogy you want to use, but it hit me hard because I recognize that within myself, a lot of times, like, I don't have this kind of zeal. I don't have the kind of zeal that is pointed in the direction of the kind of zeal that Jesus exhibited for us. That's not the kind of zeal that I have. The zeal of Jesus, it says, zeal for your house will consume me. But a lot of times my zeal, maybe our zeal, is not the zeal for the things of God that consumes us. It's our zeal is for what we can consume. Our zeal is for what we can gain. Our zeal is to have our needs met. Our zeal is to be served. Our zeal is to be comfortable. At least I know that for me. That's what I struggle with that all the time. And it brings to the surface like something that is not like fun to talk about, but something that we need to address and confront head on. And it's this, that consumerism plagues the American church. This idea of having zeal for what we can consume, for what we can gain, this idea of consumerism plagues the American church. It's just all around us. the culture, that's what the culture is all about. What can I consume? It's all about getting mine, right? Having my needs met. And it creeps right into the church all the time. Right? If we're gonna try to find a new church to go to, we're church hopping, right? We're church shopping. We want to find out which one has the best kids ministry, or I didn't really like that preacher, I didn't like his sermon that much, or I didn't feel like I got fed enough, or different things, right? I mean, when we do that, we're looking for what we can consume. We're looking to have our needs met, right? We're looking to be served, not to serve. And that's the American church. That's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, struggle that hinders the American church from being all that it can be. And it's something that I know that I have to be confronted with on a regular basis myself. Consumerism. We go down to verse 23, and it says that when he was there in Jerusalem for the Passover, that many believed in his name. But they believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. And that's why Jesus, for his part, did not entrust himself to them. Right? They only wanted to believe in his name if they could make that they got something for that. Like, they needed to see from me, Jesus, you got to give us something. If you give us something, if you give us a sign, then we'll believe in you. And so many people did believe, but that caveat is what speaks to the true nature of their belief, which means that it wasn't really true belief. There wasn't really any faith involved there, because they only believed when they saw these signs. And so Jesus, he didn't entrust himself to them because he knew exactly what was really going. He knew exactly what was really in their hearts. He didn't need no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And what is in man? Man has this zeal, this hunger for our own stuff. It's a zeal for ourselves. It's not a zeal for the benefit of others much of the time. And Jesus knew that. So what does this mean for us? I want to talk to like three or four different people in the room, right? So if you are like brand new with us, if you are brand new to the church, brand new to even like hearing about the scripture, hearing about Jesus, then you at least kind of know what the culture is telling us out there, right? Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about consumerism. And I want you to know that two things. That one, I hope what you will find here in this church, in this body of believers, is a place that is different than that. I hope you will experience a different attitude, a different kind of culture, and a different kind of environment here. Because what we have learned about Jesus is that Jesus, he gave his life for you. If you already have not experienced that and have not given your life to him, just know this morning that Jesus gave his life for you. That's what he was all about. And today would be an amazing opportunity for you to be able to receive that and receive Jesus. Now, another group of people in the room, some of you serve. Some of you serve a lot, right? Some of you serve maybe too much. My question for those of us this morning who here are sitting here and think, man, I don't really feel like I have that consumerist idea. Actually, I give myself all the time. I sacrifice a lot, maybe even too much. Then my question is, first of all, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that that our church is a church where so many people serve and give. But I also want to make sure that we're serving and giving for the right reason. Are we serving and giving with the type of zeal that Jesus exhibits here, the type of zeal that Jesus models for us, the type of zeal that is this great energy, this enthusiasm in pursuit of the cause or the objective of why we're serving in the first place? Are we serving with that kind of zeal? And if not, man, we need to ask God to to reveal that. We need to repent of that and ask Him to give us that zeal. In fact, I've been praying that a lot this week. God, give me more zeal. Give me this kind of zeal. Please, give me this kind of zeal. So if that's you this morning, first of all, I'm so grateful that you are sacrificing and that you are serving. But if you feel like you don't have that zeal, let's ask God for it, for more of it. And then really, for all of us, there are questions that we need to reflect on and be maybe even in a posture of prayer. So maybe we could just kind of close our eyes, and I'm just going to ask some of these questions and just give us a chance to reflect, to enter into just some confession, repentance, if God is really revealing some things to you and bringing some things to the surface for you this morning. Here are some questions I want us to think about, and hopefully that we won't just think about them, but they will make a difference. What does Jesus need to drive out of you? What tables in your heart does Jesus need to come and overturn? Jesus is all about kind of turning things upside down, and in this story, He literally does that. But that's what He was all about. We hear in Scripture all over and over, the first shall be last, and the greatest shall be the least, and shall be the servant of all. So what tables in your heart does Jesus need to overturn? Where have you given in to this idea of consumerism in the church? Where have you just allowed yourself to be caught up in the culture? And again, it's nothing new, because that's exactly what they struggled with back then. It's been for all time. But where have you given in to this idea? And what will you be zealous for? Will you be zealous for your own needs to be met? Will you be zealous for your own comfort? Will you be zealous for the things that will just benefit you? And this is something that we did not plan at all, but a major way of responding this morning is the fact that we have the ministry fair going on. And it's not lost on me that we have tables set out in the lobby, in the hallway. And my hope, my prayer, is that the tables that we have set out there are the kind of tables that Jesus would not want to come in and have to overturn. Because those tables are tables that represent areas of service. That Jesus would be encouraged, that He would be affirming, and that He would jump right in to that ministry fair as a way of response. So are you going to focus on what you can gain from this church, or what you can give as part of this church? Are we going to focus our zeal on what we can consume? Or will zeal for Christ, for His community, and for His cause, will that zeal consume you this morning? And so I really do feel the weight of the importance even of this ministry fair this morning as a way for us to respond to what Jesus is teaching us here. God, You have given us some very clear, albeit some sometimes uncomfortable, teachings and examples and stories in Your Scripture about the type of values that we need to live out as followers of You, as followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ. God, we don't want to shy away from the things that confront us and convict us. God, we want to address these things head on as Your people. and we want to confess that so many times we give in to this idea of consumerism, our zeal is for what we can gain, not what we can give. We confess that this morning, God, and we repent of it. I hope, I pray that we would repent this morning where we need to. And God, that we would, as a result of that, that we would leave differently and that we would live differently. God, would you be honored by the ways in which this church, this body, reflects you, reflects Jesus, and reflects you to those who do not yet know you. That zeal for Christ, zeal for his community, and zeal for his cause would consume us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.